Well, good morning, everybody. So thankful to be here. I am from Portland, Tennessee, right on the border of Kentucky, so I'm kind of from Kentucky, probably 5 minutes probably from the Kentucky border, and I'm so thankful to be here to be able to speak about Jesus. Isn't he awesome? Jesus is awesome, isn't he? He is somebody that is, you know, John talks about if we wrote all the things and talked about all the things that Jesus did, that libraries couldn't even be filled, right? What an amazing character and what an amazing individual Jesus is. And I'm excited to be able to talk about why do we need an example? Because an example like Jesus is something that is extraordinary. And to be like Jesus, you become extraordinary. Dennis talked about it in his lesson. To be holy, to be set apart. When we strive to be like Jesus, we become holy and set apart. There will always be an argument, and I know you guys can understand this. A preacher shouldn't be a liar, should they? So I'm going to tell you the truth. I love basketball, okay? I know y'all are some Kentucky Wildcats, and y'all are very familiar with basketball and winning around here, so you can understand some illustrations about basketball, but I love basketball. I played basketball my whole life. I watch basketball, and there is an argument that is continually going on when you talk about the National Basketball Association, who is the greatest player ever, right? Magic Johnson, Bill Russell, or Larry Bird, or Wilt Chamberlain. But I don't know about you, but I would say that the overwhelming vote for the greatest player ever would be Michael Jordan. Yeah? Yay? Nay? Maybe? Okay. You know, he played at a level that most people could only imagine, right? He was a leader. He was a scorer. He was a six-time champ. He was clutch in the toughest times and the most important moments. Michael Jordan always seemed to be the guy. You know, he was an incredible player. He was an example on how to play. Many, me included, tried to be like him in every way. I remember when I would play, before I would go out, I would have my wristband or my sweatband just like Michael Jordan had it. I would roll my socks down just like Michael Jordan did it. And I remember even trying to do layups, and when I would drive to the lane and shoot my shot, I would always find myself having my tongue out like Michael Jordan. I wanted to be like Mike. See, his example of greatness on the court is, it's something to be admired. It's something to be copied. It's something that people talk about still to this day. But how did he get there? How could one really be like the commercial used to say, like Mike, right? Listen to some quotes from Mr. Jordan. He said, if you do the work, you get the reward. There are no shortcuts in life. He said, you can practice shooting 8 hours a day, but if your technique is wrong, then all you'll become is very good at shooting the wrong way. I thought that was a good thought. He said, if you get the fundamentals down and the level of everything you do, it will rise. He also said this, you have to expect things of yourself before you can do them. When we think of how one should play basketball, Michael Jordan is held as the example to follow. He's the standard in many people's eyes. The way he approached the game of basketball is something that still is coached to this day. He motivates people to play the best that they can. But what about life? What about day-to-day life? Who is an example for us to follow? Is it our moms? Is it our dads? Is it that teacher at school? Is it one of those great generals that we learn about in history class? Who are those examples that we emulate? Those examples that we strive to be like? At the end of the day, no athlete, no person can even compare. And I know that I'll get an overwhelming amen on this thought. To the greatest example of all humanity, and that is Jesus the Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us that He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. And in Acts chapter 10, when Peter's talking to the household of Cornelius, he says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good. Now, we would all say that this is true. When we think about our lives and we think about the way that we live, to do good is the right way. Amen? And to do wrong is the bad way. So if we're going to have an example to follow, we always would want to follow an example that is good, correct? Jesus went about, according to Peter, doing good. Now, we could have many points. We could go many directions in talking about Jesus, but I've narrowed it down to just three. To just three thoughts to consider this morning in thinking about Jesus. What were some fundamental things that He used to be successful while He was here on this earth? Remember, Michael Jordan, he said this as well, "If you put in the work, the results will come." What a great, inspiring thought. But let me take it to another level. Jesus said this in John 8, 12, "I am the light of the world." The light of the world. And then He says this, "He who follows Me will not walk in darkness, but they'll have the light of life." Think about that. Takes it to another level, doesn't it? Jesus said, "I am the light of life." Michael Jordan said, "If you put in the work, then the results will come." Jesus said, "If you follow Me, you will be different." Following Jesus' example means the first thing to consider is being available. Are we too busy? Too much going on to help somebody else? Well, was Jesus? In John chapter 4, Jesus, leaving Judea, verse 3, He departed and He was headed to Galilee. Judea being in the middle of the region where Jesus worked, where Jerusalem was. He decides He needs to go back up to Galilee, which is in the northern part of the region. And in the middle of that area, there is a place called Samaria. There was a problem between Samaritans and Jews. We're all probably very familiar with that. Those Samaritans was mixed. See, that was Jews and Gentiles. See, we couldn't mess with them. They were dogs and mutts. They were unworthy to be compared or considered the same as us Jews, correct? You remember they had created their own path to go around Samaria, because they were so nasty and despicable. But the Bible says in John chapter 4 that as Jesus leaves in verse 3 from Judea, He departs to Galilee, and it says in verse 4 that He needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. Why did He need to go through Samaria? What was the reason that Jesus decided to go through Samaria? You want to know why? He needed to talk to somebody. He needed to talk to a woman at a well. You know, he went to this well where people would draw water out, and he talks to this woman, and he tells this woman to give him some water, and he begins a conversation with this woman. But there was something interesting about this woman. See, this woman was married 5 times. See, her life was an embarrassment. See, nobody really wanted to be around this woman. Even the disciples, when they see Jesus speaking to this woman, they're profound in their mind. What in the world is the master doing? What in the world is the rabbi doing? But Jesus did something. He made himself available to this woman, who society had cast away as not important. Jesus made himself available. If we are going to follow the example of Jesus, we must make ourselves available to those who need it the most. How attractive is that? If you'll look in John chapter 4 really quick, John chapter 4, Jesus, if you remember, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in this story, but Jesus, the disciples see him and they urge him and they say, "Rabbi, we need you to eat," in verse 31. In verse 32, he says, "But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know." In verse 33, it says, "Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat?" And Jesus turns to them and he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus' understanding of what God's will for him to do was to be available for this woman. When we think about our lives, when we think about the things that are going on, are we too busy? What an example to follow. What an example, what a practical understanding of life to be available for somebody. In Matthew chapter 20, turn with me there real quick. Matthew chapter 20, verse 30. I want you to look at something. Matthew chapter 20, verse 30. The Bible says, verse 29, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." It says that Jesus had compassion on these blind men and healed them. Why? Because it wasn't about him. See, it was about loving someone else. Even the multitude that followed him. Did you hear what they said in verse 31? Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. "Hey man, be quiet. Jesus got bigger stuff to do than to fool with you." Jesus has got bigger fish to fry than to mess with you two blind men. Be quiet. Quit bothering him. But what did Jesus do? He stood still. If you had to give a definition for the word stood still, what would you say? He stopped. The busy man, the rabbi that was teaching everybody, the great multitudes that followed him, the ones that were surrounding him, they needed to be by him. He was popular as anybody. He stood still and he said, "What do you want me to do for you, two blind men?" He touched them because he had compassion. See, Jesus was available to a woman at a well and to two blind men. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I want to bring this point even closer to us. Even closer to us. Romans chapter 5. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. It says, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 9, he says, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And I love verse 11. Verse 11 is a powerful thought. He says, "And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." It would be hard to find someone to step in and die for someone else, wouldn't it? I mean, let's just be real about it. Even if they were the best citizen, what would we say? Man, that's just wrong to do that man like that. I mean, it's just wrong for somebody to actually want to kill this good guy. Well, would you step in for him? Oh, no. I mean, it's wrong. It's wrong for you to do that, but I couldn't do that. I got stuff I got to tell. I mean, but Jesus took our place. He made himself available for us so we could be saved. Following Jesus' example means being available. What else? Jesus' example. Why Jesus? Because following him means being thankful for opportunities. Do we appreciate the opportunities that are put before us? Did Jesus? You know, the opportunities that are put before us in the workplace. Situations that come up in our life. Brother Dennis dealing with cancer or whatever the situation is. When we think about these opportunities, are we thankful for them? Jesus, 4,000 people were following this man. In Matthew chapter 15. And he looks at his disciples and I'm paraphrasing. He says, "Hey man, we got to feed these folks. What y'all got?" You remember every time Jesus would ask them that, and it's in other areas too, they get all tore up about it. They can't figure it out. "It'd take all this money to feed all these people. We don't have none of that." They just didn't get it, did they? They just didn't get it. What you got then? What you got? Bring it over here. What'd they have? 7 loaves and a couple fish. All right, let me see it. Jesus, verse 36, he took the 7 loaves and the fish and he gave thanks and he broke them and he gave them to the disciples. And you know what happened when he gave thanks for that? Everybody ate. Jesus, in this moment, with 4,000 people who were hungry, he said, "Lord, thank you for these 7 loaves. Lord, thank you for this fish because you are going to provide and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be here." Oh, he did that again in John chapter 11. You remember Lazarus, his buddy? Lazarus died, and a lot of the young kids, I've asked them at Fountainhead to give me a verse. It is amazing that these kids, just like grown-ups, can go and find the shortest verse to memorize, right? It's right here in John 11. You got a verse, Bubba? Yeah, I got one. What is it? John 11, 35. Isn't that what it is? Jesus wept, right? They love that verse. This is right in that area. But Jesus, when he realized that his friend was dead, he'd been dead for 4 days. And you know, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, they was a little bit upset with Jesus. They couldn't understand why he wasn't there. Lord, if you would have been here, then this wouldn't have happened. But look at what's happened. Lazarus is dead. Jesus tells him to take the stone away. And in verse 41, he says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus, he lifted his eyes up to heaven. And he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. And you know what he says after that? He says, get up, get out. Come out of here, Lazarus. Come on out. And he comes out. You remember he's walking out with the cloths all over him? Jesus was thankful for the opportunity. What about us? In Luke chapter 10, Jesus, talking to the Father, in verse 21, he rejoices in the Spirit and he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in your sight. Jesus was excited. Jesus was thankful that he was able to spread this truth, the good news, to babes. You know how it is. I got a little 5-year-old daughter. You want to know how much she listens to me? She's glued in on everything I tell her to do. Now, I know that'll change, right? I got a 19-year-old, too, that hears what I'm saying, and then he goes in there and does something else, right? But at the 5-year-old, at the 4-year-old stage, they're glued in. Why? Because they want to know what to do. See, they trust me, right? Libby trusts what I say. She believes what I'm telling her is the truth. Don't do that. Don't touch this. Jesus was thankful for the opportunity to talk to those who were willing to hear. And when we think about this, what a truth for us. Especially us here who are Christians. Are we seizing the opportunity, just like 12 hours of Jesus, to tell somebody about the hope within us? See, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you. But what about us? Are we thankful for the opportunities to be the right example? Because Jesus was. And the last thing to consider, following Jesus' example means being dependable. You know, I used to be a supervisor on nights, and I always loved the most dependable guys. You know it? I mean, I don't know. Maybe y'all don't. I don't know. Do you like somebody who's dependable or not dependable? I mean, if I want a guy to come over and fix the plumbing at my house, do I want the dependable guy? You know, I had a guy working on some stuff, and he said, hey, I'll be there next week. You want to know how long I've been waiting on next week? For about 6 months now. He's not dependable. Now, I'm not trying to talk bad about this person, but last week he told me, 6 months ago, that he'd be there the next week. Well, that next week ain't came yet. Dependable people is a struggle in your life if you try to count on them. Am I right? Can people depend on you? Was Jesus dependable? Is Jesus still dependable? I want you to just listen to some verses. John 17:4, Jesus praying to the Father. Before it all goes down, before he goes to the cross, Jesus says this. He's done with all the ministry. He's done with walking with the disciples. It is time. It is game time for real. And Jesus says, I have glorified you, Father, on earth. Verse 4. He says, I've finished the work which you have given me to do. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, wouldn't you say that this is a person who's dependable if the description is given like this? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a pretty dependable person, isn't it? He never even changes from yesterday, today, and forever. In John chapter 15, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, in verse 13 he says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. In Matthew 11, only somebody who's dependable could say this. In verse 28 he says, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden. You remember what Jesus says? He says, I'll give you rest. Friend, if you're here today and you're not a child of God, Jesus will give you rest. He'll give you rest. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, he says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? What's going to separate it? See, I know that Christ loves me. He's dependable. I can count on Him. So what can separate me from that love? Can tribulation, can distress, can persecution, can famine, can nakedness, can peril, can sword? No, nothing can. Why? Because I can depend on Jesus. What an example. In Matthew 28, before Jesus goes into heaven, talking to His crew, He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So as we close and as we think about the example of Jesus, we see an incredible person, don't we? One who made time for others. One who made time for others no matter what the circumstance was. See, friend, if you're here today and you think, oh, well, God can't forgive me because of the things that I've done, don't let Satan trick you. Don't let Satan fool you. No matter what the circumstance is, it is not big enough for God to not wipe completely clean. Been there, done that. See, Jesus was thankful for the opportunity to be an example for good, no matter how incredible the odds. No matter what he was faced with, no matter what situation was put before him, he said, to God be the glory, what can I do? I'm always reminded of Paul in that thought. You remember in Philippians chapter 1, he says, but brethren, I don't want you to be worried, because actually me being locked up has been a better thing, because now the gospel can go out to all the ones who are in prison, the ones who are guarding me. Paul had it figured out, didn't he? He followed the example of Jesus, and that proves to me and to you as well, Paul wasn't anything but a human being just like us. But no matter what the situation was, no matter what was happening in his life, he saw an opportunity to be an example for good. And finally, Jesus was then and still is today as dependable as you can get. Why wouldn't we want to follow that example? Because of what Jesus did for us, we can have a hope of heaven one day. And that happens through the beautiful gospel. By obedience to the gospel, you are added to the family of God. You are translated, or you are conveyed into the kingdom of Jesus. What an awesome feeling. Forgiven of your sins. You do it by believing who Jesus is, knowing that He came to this earth that he died on a cross and that he was resurrected on the third day. You do it by repenting, by turning away from your way of living and turning about face and turning towards God. You do it by confessing his name. Jesus said this, that if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. We're talking about him confessing to the Almighty God, y'all. Almighty God. My name, Matthew Thomas Miller. Maybe he'll say my middle name. He'll confess my name before the Almighty. That's a pretty powerful thought, huh? And to be baptized in water, to go in nasty and dirty and come out brand new. I use this example a lot, and it's so awesome. I don't know about y'all, and I've only experienced it one time in my life, and it wasn't even mine. My mom and daddy bought a brand new car one time. Y'all remember that smell? That brand new car smell? You step in that thing, man. But after time, it fades out, right? My car don't smell new. I can put that Christmas tree blue new car scent in there all day, but it ain't going to smell like that new car scent, right? When you go into the water, you go in dirty, but when you come out, you are brand new. 2020 model, man. Jesus said, in Revelation chapter 2, to those brethren who put Christ on in baptism, he said, if you will be faithful to me, I know that you're facing heavy persecution, Revelation chapter 2. I know that you're having struggles, but if you will remain faithful to me until death, verse 10 says, I'll give you a crown of life. Man, I want that crown. How about you? And Jesus said that if you'll follow me, he told the disciples, and it's true for us as well, if we will follow Jesus, he will make you fishers of men. And you can go tell other people just how awesome of an example Jesus is. Maybe you're here today and you need prayers. I appreciate the invite, brother. I appreciate y'all taking just a few minutes of your time to listen to me holler up here. But here's one thing I want you guys to know, and I want you to know this comes from my heart. I love Jesus, and I want to tell somebody about him. How about you? Maybe you're here today and you need to obey the gospel. If you are not a Christian and you are here, you are missing out on the greatest kingdom ever. You are missing out on all the greatest blessings of being a child of God. Make it right today. If you need prayers, whatever it is, please come right now as we stand and sing.